This month, we've been going through some of the stories from the life of Moses. We started the month with the story of his birth and his adoption by an Egyptian princess. Then we traveled beyond the wilderness to the burning bush and God's promise that Moses would help lead God's people out of slavery. And last week, I had arguably too much fun with the 10 plagues. There are a lot of incredible stories within the book of Exodus and throughout the life of Moses. And since I can't get through them all this month, I certainly encourage you to read them yourself. After last week's story of the 10 plagues, Pharaoh told Moses that he and his people were free to go and to worship their God. Just leave him alone. Pharaoh hadn't wanted to back down. But even his advisors begged him to save his country from any more of God's wrath. While the Egyptians grieved the deaths of all firstborn sons throughout the land, the Israelites quickly pack up their belongings, gather their animals, and rush to bake the bread that hasn't even had time to rise, in their haste to leave before Pharaoh changes his mind. Because even the death of his own son was not enough to soften Pharaoh's heart and have mercy on the people whom he had wronged and enslaved and lied to, Pharaoh's heart is still hardened against God. Of course, he's going to change his mind about letting his entire slave population go. Our story this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 19 through 30. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. God clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn, the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea. The waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus, the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. This is the word of the Lord. Sometimes when we're drowning in a frustrating situation, it can be easy to lose hope or confidence that we will ever come out on the other side. When a diet isn't going well, when depression makes each day a wearying struggle, when a math class feels impossible, when a marriage might be failing, when a fever won't break, when a baby won't stop crying, when your future looks cold and empty, without a beloved partner, or without the achievement of a long-held dream. So the Israelite people have taken everything and escaped from slavery, running for their lives and hoping to get out of Pharaoh's reach. Now they're on a beach, catching their breaths. And as some of the adrenaline wears off, they might start to remember treasures that they left behind. They might start to wonder where their next meal will come from. They might start to wonder where it is that they are being led. And maybe they start to wonder, with fear and trembling, how on earth they are supposed to get there, with water in front of them and the distant sounds of Pharaoh's army behind them coming closer. According to the tradition of Jewish rabbinical writings, there were four reactions to the realization that they were trapped. One group wept and would have sooner thrown themselves into the sea and drowned rather than return to slavery in Egypt. The second group sighed and said that it would be better to willingly return to Egypt, whatever faced them there, than to die in the wilderness. The third group became angry and was ready to fight the Egyptians. But a fourth group rejected all three of these options and said, "No, let's pray together. God has not led us this far to abandon us here." Trapped between a rock and a hard place, those four responses seem very human and natural. Give up, give in, fight back, or pray. On any day of our lives, we could choose any of those options. But Moses tells them that God is setting a path before them for their safe escape. And taking God's path is clearly a better option than any they've thought of themselves. Even after all the pains and sorrows and daily heartbreaks of slavery that the Israelites have endured, they still have hope, and they still have passionate faith in their God. It is exactly that hope and that passionate faith that allows them to be led by Moses, even though they must be terrified to run away to the unknown. As they cross the Red Sea, they are literally pushed ahead and protected by the light of God. They still don't know what the promised land will be like. They still don't know when they will get there. And neither do we. Anything could happen as they pass through the waters. All sorts of things could go wrong. But the path lies before them, and they know God is walking with them. So they keep marching on. All through the night, they walk ahead, with the pillar of the light of God fighting against the darkness and defending them against Pharaoh's army. Are their hearts racing as they try to speed up their steps? Or does the physical presence of God fill them with calm and peace and confidence? Can they see the confused faces of fish on the other side of the walls of water? Do the voices of the army behind them carry through the pillar of cloud and light? Are the Israelites filled with wonder or terror? Is this miracle any more strange than the miracle of the 10 plagues they are leaving behind? I wish I could join them on this pilgrimage across dry land through the water. I have so many questions. We will probably never see anything like the parting of the Red Sea in our lifetimes. It isn't often that God steps in to create miracles of that magnitude. But in our own ways, in our own lives, God still invites us to follow paths of dangerous and seemingly impossible promise. We pass through the Red Sea when we take the pilgrimage towards sobriety. We pass through the Red Sea when we pass through the waters of baptism. We pass through the Red Sea when we take vows, whether they are vows of marriage or office or ordination, and we leave our old lives in Egypt behind. We pass through the Red Sea during the long night of the Easter Vigil, which is the only time that this story appears in the 3-year lectionary cycle. We pass through the Red Sea when we decide to keep going after tragedy, though life will never be the same. We pass through the Red Sea when we follow God's call to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with the Lord our God as we strive to create the promised land, even in the midst of crashing waves. We will pass through the Red Sea again, when we let God's light guide us towards another shore, where we will all be made anew. No one will have any pain, and the only business will be joy. The Lord will fight for us, even as we lie still. Someday, we will reach God's shore, where our cups will run over with God's love, sweeter than the taste of milk and honey. God has led us this far, and God will not abandon us.